This is the news. We are just hearing that the Queen and Boris Johnson have had a fight. According to sources outside Buckingham Palace, Her Majesty and the Prime Minister were in the middle of their usual weekly meeting when they started punching each other violently in the face. All advertised schedules have been suspended on all channels as we broadcast a series of programmes held in reserve by the British government to be played at times of crisis. All of these programmes were made prior to the year 1997, and they include Keeping Up Appearances, The Good Life, and the original series of Darling Buds of May. It's all going to be okay. This is Britain. It's all going to be fine. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about a very interesting book which I've been reading called Hollywood Propaganda: How TV, Movies and Music Shape Our Culture by Mark Dice. And one thing it really put me in mind of, actually, was the extent to which the current woke takeover of our TV schedules and of everything in the media could, in some respects, be a good thing. Because in terms of making people think, and in terms of making people understand what is actually happening, which is that we are going through a societal collapse. And only if we understand that we are going through a societal collapse can we do anything about it. It could be argued that we have been going through a societal collapse for a very long time. And as Mark Dice points out, they were going through a societal collapse in Imperial Rome, but they were inured against this by bread and circuses. The entire population was entertained. The entire population was provided with entertainment which was unifying, which promoted group-oriented values of sanctity and obedience to authority and loyalty to the group. And it balanced this with elements of individualism and balanced this with elements of equality, such that there wasn't a great sense of dysphoria, such that people were basically relatively happy, even though looking at it from the outside, it was quite clear that Rome at that time was going through a societal collapse. Now, it could be argued that that was the kind of situation that we were in the 1990s. It could be argued that we have been moving into the winter of civilization based on various markers that you always see in the winter of civilization, according to research by Sir John Glove and people like that. Always in the winter of civilization, you see the decline of religiousness because you lose the martial values and you have a very high sense of luxury, and so you lose a sense your sense of stress, which elevates religiousness, and you lose a sense of ethnocentrism, and you lose a sense that you're important, and so always see immigration, and you have a sense of nihilism and a sense that there's not really any meaning anymore and that God is dead because of the collapse of the religiousness which upholds patriarchy. You always get the rise in feminism because of the collapse of the martial values, because you're no longer under stress, and you're no longer under harsh group selection against other groups. The heroes of the society stop being soldiers and people like that, and they start being entertainers and such like. You always see precisely the same process in the winter again and again and again. But when there is a period where the population can be kind of drugged against this using the media, they won't act upon it, they won't act to do anything about it, and they will just permit it to get worse. And it could be argued that that's what we saw until the 1990s and indeed the 2000s, when you have television programs that basically do what people want them to do, which is take their lives and reflect their lives back to them in a comical, escapist way, which is uplifting, the comedy being believable because it is possible to suspend disbelief because on every other measure, the comedy reflects real life, or better than that, it reflects a romanticized view of real life that's sort of a golden age back in the past and it's a bit out of date. And that's what you see with things like Keeping Up Appearances and with things like The Good Life, and with comedies of that kind. It is real life. It is people talking in the way people do talk, which is older lies to some extent to do with less swearing and less sex, but it's people talking as they do talk about the things they do talk about. It's kind of genuine, but it's also lighthearted and it makes you feel good about life. Then you have things like the Darling Buds of May, which is a romanticized understanding of the past, and that's what a lot of tribes do. They romanticize the past, so we like that. We like being presented with a romanticized view of the past with nostalgia and that sort of thing. It makes us feel good. We like being presented with basically archetypes that we're strongly evolved to like about superhero males and dainty princesses and things like that. And therefore, superhero movies and Star Wars and things like that are good. And they're all sociologically realistic, such that we can suspend disbelief. They get the balance right between the group-oriented values and the individualizing values of equality and harm avoidance, such that they represent a balance between these things, and there's no dysphoria, and they represent what real life is like. And this makes us feel happy, because we're not in a sense of dysphoria, and therefore it's a bit like bread and circuses. Now, what this book argues, it doesn't argue it in exactly these terms, but what wokeism appears to have done is destroyed that. It has destroyed every element of realism in every component of culture that you can possibly think of. Realism is sacrificed on the altar of the promotion of equality and on the promotion of harm avoidance. And he actually notes evidence that lobbying groups have put pressure on the movie industry to put more and more homosexuals in positions of influence in films, transsexuals in positions of influence in films, black people in positions of influence in films, other ethnic minorities in positions of influence in films, to promote a pro-abortion gender, to promote a pro-gay adoption gender, to promote a pro-woke agenda on every level. And being highly organized, they have pressured these groups to do this. And they have, of course, clearly done so. And then once they do so, it's never good enough. Once you've got, for example, in the film The Joker, once you've got a few black people in the film, well, that's not good enough. Then what roles are they playing? Are they playing prominent enough roles? Are they playing starring roles? Do they subvert stereotypes, or do they fit in some way with racial stereotypes? In which case, that's not good enough. Eventually, what you get to a point is that films should simply be remade and the entire cast should be black. Films should be remade and the entire cast of, let's say, Ghostbusters should be female. Films should be remade and the entire cast should be homosexual. And it shouldn't matter how or films should be remade and the pretty person, it should be fat. Films should be... comedies, as another example, should be condemned because they made fun of fat people or they made fun of gays or whatever. And there should be the promotion of woke values in these, such that they become less and less funny and less realistic, meaning you can less and less suspend disbelief. And the same is seen in every aspect of modern culture, where realism, which involves things that aren't necessarily pleasant, but does involve, I'm afraid, people being excluded, people being left out, people being made fun of, people not being part of a broader group, people socializing with people that are genetically similar to them, as we know people do. These things have to be sacrificed to help to create a world which promotes equality and harm avoidance. And this, of course, makes it unbelievable. It makes it unbelievable. It makes it unfunny in the case of comedy. It means you can't suspend disbelief in the case of drama. And it means, therefore, that the programmes, while they may satisfy an extreme woke minority of ideologues, decreasingly satisfy the general population. They make that population increasingly feel a sense of dysphoria and increasingly become aware that they are a population in decline, that they are an empire in decline. And that can be a bad thing in the sense that it can make people depressed and it can make people despondent, but it can be a good thing in that it can at least permit people to understand the world, to make sense of what's going on. And only if you do that can you even begin to try and do something about it, whatever that might happen to be. I remember myself that I was fairly blue pilled on these things until I was a postgraduate at university, and then I was confronted with the lies, the corruption, the propaganda that was dominating postgraduate education at Aberdeen University. It wasn't noticeable at all at Durham University as an undergraduate, but it was very noticeable at Aberdeen University. And on the one hand, this was something that was angering and black-pilling, but on the other hand, it at least opened one's eyes. So it was the wokeness, or the proto-wokeness, that caused me to become more aware of and more interested in what was going on. Now, you see this with what has been happening over the last 10 or 15 years, in particular with popular culture, which is that everything, old comedies, old film, whatever, has to be remade to fit with the current dispensation. And in remaking it, it has to promote equality and it has to be politically correct and promote harm avoidance. This means it becomes unfunny. You can't take risks. Jokes, it becomes unrealistic, you can't suspend disbelief, it just is not very good. and therefore, ironically, the power of the propaganda to manipulate people and to control people actually becomes weakened in a way that wasn't the case in the 1990s with comedies and with anodyne comedies and things like that, like hitting up appearances or whatever, which sort of kept people content and stopped people from questioning, let's say, an unfair social class system by presenting it as something funny and jolly and good. You could look at it in that way if you wanted. You could look at the good life in that way if you wanted as well, as a sort of positive view of the upper middle class, which makes most people watching it in the 70s, the working class, kind of think, oh, they're jolly nice people, and not question the system and not rock the boat. You could look at all of these kinds of things in this way, but you don't if something is realistically presented, if your life is reflected back to you, and an element of comedy or an element of escapism or an element of the surreal of drama is placed into it. And that is what wokeness has gradually taken away as it has ripped out the elements of holding society together, which is important, of course, and the elements of obedience to authority and the elements of sanctity, as it induces disgust in more and more people who feel that their things they hold sacred and things they hold important are just being trampled upon and ignored, such as by trying to rewrite history whereby characters, you know, who are real historical characters are played as gay or played as of different ethnic groups or whatever it happens to be, whether it's by altering any sort of structure and order such that it just seems preposterous, or whether it's just constantly emphasizing equalitarian tokenism such that what you're presented with becomes unbelievable. A most extreme example of this, I think, is the 1980s TV series MacGyver, which is about this, if you've not seen it, it's about this very clever sort of detective or whatever, who always manages to come up with the brilliant inventions just in time and save the day. And in this new series, one of his bosses or something is a female dwarf. Not just a female. I mean, the idea of having a female senior detective is frankly fairly unlikely and causes one to sort of not suspend disbelief and makes it a rather more unbelievable experience, and makes it rather less good at enduring people against reality and being escapist. But that the person is a female dwarf, and this isn't commented on, and nobody comments on this, because you have to try and hope that life will imitate art and you will bring about a situation where being a dwarf will just be normal and nobody will comment on it and nobody will discuss it, or a relationship between people of different races is just, nobody would comment on it, nobody would discuss it, or a homosexual in the family, nobody would comment on it, nobody would discuss it, it would just be considered completely normal. Now, of course, that is not the case according to the data, that is not the case according to real life, and so if you try and present something as though that is the case and also make it a comedy, the comedy is less funny. Because because there are other the comedy and the surreal elements that involve suspension of disbelief, but there's even more suspension of disbelief involved, because you have to accept this. In this, the same is true of drama. The same is true of whatever it happens to be. So I think that ironically, woke people, in being obsessed with propaganda and in making everything into propaganda for their own desires, produce worse propaganda, are worse at producing bread and circuses. And that actually, if there was a crisis now and people genuinely needed to hold the society together, as happened when Princess Diana died, I guarantee you one of the first things they would play would be some anodyne 1970s comedy or keeping up appearances or whatever, because that, well, apart from a few woke people that would take offense, that would be what would hold society together. And it would hold society together, and it would work as really a kind of propaganda, a kind of opium for the masses, because it would make them laugh, but it would also reflect back to them what life is kind of like in a, maybe in a very slightly a romanticized, old-fashioned way. It would get the balance between the different moral foundations correct, and therefore that is what would be shown in a time of crisis. They certainly wouldn't show in a time of crisis Modern Family, or any modern remake of some old comedy, the modern remake of Reggie Perrin, the modern remake of whatever, where they place ethnic minorities or they place in homosexuals, because those things are not convincing. And so it's a very interesting and detailed book, if you want to have a look at it, charts the way in which, of course, television and movies influence real life. If famous people kill themselves, then you get a spate of suicides. If famous people come out as being transsexual, you get a spate of people saying they're transsexual. If famous people come out as depressed, you get a spate of people saying that they're depressed, because you imitate people in positions of power and things are socially contagious. And that's always been the case. But what you have now is social contagion of increasingly individualistic and maladaptive things, which is, of course, very bad. However, those things are presented in an increasingly unbelievable context in which it's much more difficult to suspend disbelief. And in terms of us not wanting to be inculcated with the propaganda of these people, one could argue that that's actually rather a good thing. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, please do subscribe. It really helps if you do that. Please, of course, you can watch me live on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. You can see ways to help the channel below. I will see you soon, and goodbye!